Ribbon. That's from Mechanormal's 1993 record, Floodplain. And now you're listening to Dromotext, poetry and spoken word. We're featuring some prison poetry tonight, perspectives from prisons. And Dee from Prison Radio is here with us.
Hi.
Hi, thanks for being with us.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
And so you've got some poetry from Joe Convict.
Yeah, I've got quite a lengthy poem, and I hope that when I read it out that I will do it justice. It is a very beautiful poem. It's called A Psalm of Justice for Ashley. And just for our listeners, Ashley Smith was a young woman of only 19 years of age who committed suicide in prison 2 years ago. And as she was hanging in the cell, the guards kept on checking on the cell, seeing her hanging, and they for hours and hours, and they didn't do anything. So Joe Convict is a prisoner. It's not his real name, Joe Convict, obviously, that, you know, but, he was outraged, and I'm sure, just one more blow that prisoners have, you know, and so he wrote this poem, and it's really good. Again, A Psalm of Justice for Ashley. In echo of Dante's fiery dream, all ye who enter here abandon hope, or your thoughts for humanity, because mercy in government lays dead and bleeding. So begins my sad psalm for Ashley, a poetic journey of will. Walk this way, if you please, on through these cluttered gates leading to hell without a handbasket in sight. I say, hold on to your humanity and heartstrings tight, for they are now in question, for who will you be by the end of this entreat? Ashley needed love, not hate. She surely didn't deserve her inviolable fate, barbarically brought about by the modern monstrosity known as CSC. Despair and self-loathing, I know, constantly inflicted with her need for that faraway love. Oh, so lost and alone, the sad scene was set by CSC, so they could kick back and sadistically watch your final performance on their cruel stage of arbitrary isolation. Love, love, love. Where was the love? Why was there not enough of love's eternal light left in the world to shine on Ashley? A quarter of her life spent in a man-made hell. The office of the correctional investigator willingly failed you while you yet remained alive. She was the same one to have complained many a time, only to have them all denied or ignored. Her last plea for help remained unopened, unheard, invalidated for more than 2 months after her demise. Standing sad and strangled by their horrific indifferent stares, woe is the state of things here in the accountability free zone called Correction Services Canada. Her time was too short, but she graced us with a heroic yet victimized heart. You were a troubled angel sent to test us, and we failed you, prisoner and oppressor alike, for we are of your ilk, couldn't find the time to break free from our own mirrored existence of dismal despondence. Only too late are we now able to see you needed our understanding, our camaraderie, our love, instead of blind anger, frustration, and hate. Alone I wake at midnight, disturbed by the lingering echo of your long-gone and troubled cries of get off my back. Your maniacal mission was to turn everyone against you, called you insane, so they would employ their diabolical devices of hillbilly justice. Dear Ashley, why did you have to suffer in your oh-so-short and tortured 19 years here on planet Earth? Why so separated? For 11 and a half months, you remain in tormented isolation, while sickness, uniformed in blue, demissively smiled on. Your spunk and spine was entreated as funk and grime by the bastard bureaucrats. They laid a layer of red tape so high that you couldn't climb out of your valley so low. More than 150 times you dressed in their Gestapo gear, anonymously wearing no name tags. They proceeded to goose step all over your humanity, your sanity, your peace of mind. The official abusers, they beat you down disgracefully. They declared you mad to hide the fact that you were brutally tortured many a time. Society must rise up and declare that they show us the 150 plus use of force tapes of how CSC inflicted their foul justice in the name of safety for the Canadian masses. So this is my psalm for Ashley in true Davidian style, from one who is chosen to suffer, hunted by the haters and haunted by your troubled soul and tragic end. They gracefully paraded your mother's mourning cries out for the world to see. Then a week later, on the national news, no less, there's Justice Minister Nicholson spit flying and spewing out once again, "Them damn prisoners, they got it too good." Justice has no name here in the tragic shadows cast by a young woman's death. Have they no shame? They hide their guilty pride by the meaningless monologue of the correctional investigator's whitewash. He did nothing about your pain while you were maimed alive, only added their contempt. I know. How many of your daily desperate calls did the OCI ignore? It seems they didn't have their orders yet to run a cover-up to the public safety minister. Just another smoke and mirrors show, all in the name of impotent truth that mentions nothing of their involvement in her death. Meaningless words, because there's no pudding for anyone at the end of their proof. The truth leads nowhere except up the garden path to nothingness, where no laws will change and no one is truly accountable. Nothingness, no twisted arms you'll see here, except maybe the arms of those who want a real solution to this so-called truth. Thunderously, as of yet, there's been no justice for Ashley, no rest for those left, the weary and in mourning, the loss of one loved, not nearly by enough. Humanity hangs here in the balance of traumatic treatment and thrown away dignity, happily trampled by Correction Services Canada. Decency's demise on a cold stone floor while the fascist folk watched on in their degrading delight. Is just being fired enough able to walk away in anonymity, scot-free into that blazing sunset? Once again, not a single totalitarian charged with a wrongful death. Their names hidden, not only those in front of the proverbial firing squad, but all those culpable through their indifferent omissions. I say expose them all, from Howard Sapir's impotent smoke show to the MP's minion Don Head, the Commissioner of Corrections, and on down to the corporate demons who control the mass media's mouth. We all share this shame because we partakers all are in the same race known as the human race, which we've truly failed to run for Ashley. What to do now with this dropped and battered baton? Do we keep on as before without what has never been, or do we pick up justice and put it in its proper place? A passion for the sad saga, for an unacceptable sacrifice, the lonely life of a young woman caged. I say she was human and not just the sum of her wrongdoings. She should be heroically held up as a martyr to expose the truth of this unrighteous place called Incarceration Canada. You were angry and frustrated. I know. First heard your name in tragedy on the nightly news. Why the need for their silence as you screamed out from an isolation cell, unheard by humanity, which now echoes in my brain? You don't have to be a psychic to understand this seemingly psychotic psalm, for they stripped her down and took away her sanity, clothing her instead with indignity's gown. They then trained her to kill herself. She was not ready for CSC's psychological warfare and torturous ways. They're all involved, for they feed their families, buy and gas up their fancy new cars when misery is the price, happily paid by these Nazi nouveaux. A free spirit like Ashley's, like something wild if caged, will wither here in the bitter darkness of society's disdain. No more pain. They can't hurt you anymore. Only those left behind still feel your woe. But my prayer for you, sweet prison sister, is paradise for sure, because you've already paid more than your due, for the price was a life spent abandoned in hell. There they are, the death dealers, slave keepers. Yes, the modern pigs like their Gestapo kin of old. Their fascism must be overthrown. It's time for revolution before they fire up the ovens once more and burn we who are now known as society's cast-off humanity. lost time and stolen pieces, like the cold winds blowing out liberally from rich conservative strongholds of injustice, this way cometh. They are the defilers of human dignity, decency, and rights. So I'll continue to sing this, my sad psalm, out to the world for an inhumane isolation cell like yours once was. I'm hated by most, not like you, for I'm guilty, doing life, you see. But for the rest of what remains, prisoners just this day will never be the same to me. Without your name mentioned, screamed out loud, Ashley Smith, Ashley Smith, justice now for Ashley Smith. And that was written by Joe Convict. And thank you very much. It always makes me a little bit emotional when I read that poem. Oh, wow.
That was amazing. Thanks a lot, Dee. That was really amazing. So that poem was by Joe the Convict of Southern Ontario. We're going to hear more from Joe the Convict right after this. So stay tuned. This is CKUT, Dromo Text. The time is 8:10.
As part of the Hoodstock Urban Music Festival taking place in Montreal North, the Villanueva family and the Coalition Against Police Brutality is holding a commemorative march on Sunday, August 9th at Parc Aimé Léonard at 5 p.m. in Montreal North. Together, we demand truth and justice for Freddy Villanueva. For more information, visit hoodstock.ca and lacrap.org. That's Sunday, August 9th at Parc Aimé Léonard in Montreal North, 5 p.m., a CKUT co-presentation.
Yeah, so check out that event for sure, Hoodstock. With the commemorative march marking 1 year since Freddy Villanueva's death in Montreal North. So you're listening to Dromo Text, and we just heard some poetry by Joe the Convict of Southern Ontario, read by Dee of CKUT's Prison Radio. And we're going to hear more from Joe now from a CD called A Voice from the Dungeon. This collection of creative prose and poetry was recorded while Joe the Convict, prisoner at Warkworth Institution in Southern Ontario, was being held in a disassociation cell, solitary confinement. The recording was made over the phone through a slot in the door of a 12-foot by 7-foot cell. A Voice from the Dungeon recounts some of the past 10 years of Joe's sentence, his life pre-incarceration, and recollections of some of his experiences as a child. He's serving a life sentence at Warkworth Institution in Ontario. He's a writer, artist, and jailhouse lawyer. This recording is a gathering of poems from three collections, and any feedback on this is encouraged. So if you're interested in this and you want to find out more about it, messages can be forwarded to Paul via Liam at sparrow@riseup.net or by mail at Prison Radio, care of CKUT, 3647 University, Montreal, and the postal code is H3A2B3. And I'll give that to you again in a minute. In the meantime, check out these poems.
Here's to the capturing experience in the form of a letter sent to you from the dark side of reason, written from beyond the passage of time, to a life now lived as the echo of an existence only dreamed of. I'll communicate to you these seeds of pain now grown and matured into a manic wound upon my broken soul. From the abuse inflicted upon me as a child, I will boldly speak to that far-flung trail of blood droplets shed for me and wrung out by many. Then on we'll travel till we reach that twisted age of revenge gone wrong and the chaos of a wounded man's melancholic gaze. I now live my life inside the vision of persecution as a black-eyed scapegoat dreaming of poetic change, when out of the darkness surrounding my soul could be heard, above the roaring silence of an insomnic rage, the plaintive cries of the lost. Mother, Father, God help me. These were called out like a pathetic mantra meant to to rescue me from the pain that I was living in. I searched my past for answers, sifting through the perpetual propaganda of society's norms, with the hope that if you spend enough time in the woods, even blindfolded, you're bound to bump into a tree. Now, once the answer has come, and I'm feeling that funky phrase, I know I'll have the freedom to send to you a big bag of weed-type atonement meant to calm that aching question, why? I am going to be doing a poetry reading from the hole in Warkworth Penitentiary. I have been now in the hole for several months, but that's neither here nor there. I'm going to read from selected poems that I have written over the last 10 years. They are from four manuscripts that I've written, and I haven't really gone out of my way to have them published, but they've been written. So here goes. This is called The Hostage. Held hostage for a lifetime without a ransom in sight by my own desire for love and belonging. Left by the wayside of lost lovers and quick gratification. Meant to fill that deep gap left in my being where deep affection should be. Wayward relationships and bent emotions with jealousy as the end result of childhood abandonment. Alone in the dark, housed by strangers who care only for the check sent them by the baby stealers, known as child welfare. These are those determined to destroy the family unit. Get rid of the father, and we may help you. If not, we'll take your brood and give them to strangers, along with the money you needed to raise your wee ones. Alone in the dark, hiding in a foster care closet, after the kitty keeper's abuse was particularly bad. All are asleep now. Well, in the still of night, a small boy cries out to distant and deaf ears, I want my mommy. Now they wonder why I have trust issues and clung to those soft and pretty abusers, trying to fill the crack in my soul with more of the same kind of crap that would transport me to a familiar comfort zone called loneliness, loss, and pain. Far flung are my dreams of home, hearth, and happiness, spent with a like-minded lover who could handle being my muse, poured out my life and love on those who would cast it aside, what I had to offer, so I took and stole what I didn't even want, and ended up without someone to adore and share my life with. Now I live as a hostage, held by my own hand, waiting. This one's called Confessions of a Child Prostitute. Not for the squeamish are these little lost lives in ruin. This is for the pleasure of the mass media-infested age of innocence, stolen by those that would exploit the survival needs of the young. More than 100 abusers before the age of 10, done in secrecy by many women and two men. They destroyed my sense of right and wrong. I was a lonely and lost boy child in need of affection. And into this void the abuser stepped, touching and groping, making me feel good on the outside, that later destroyed would lay on the inside of my troubled mind. They've cracked my soul and tainted forever the image I see every day in the reflective actions played out in my nightmare called life. The momentum of a haunted street kid in the making. This is the journey into a life of prostitution, drugs, and existing outside of society's norms. Did what I had to survive in a world that would create a man destined for sin and the destruction of my own life and oh so much more. Introduced to a book full of porn when I was 8, which opened the gate into the unknown fathoms of obsession and depravity. Innocence lost, or should I say stolen and paid for by the Johns and Janes who were looking for gratification on the reverse side of decency and protection. The unfiltered exploitation of the previously defiled boy's needs for virtuous affection, twisted in the mind and actions of the selfish. They should have been protecting the trust of the young, now living in shame. That's the end of that one. wounded innocence with each new trick's twisted desire fulfilled. Torn is the fabric itself, and rage replaces the sense of trust this boy once had for humanity. Lust tightens its hold on the teenage prostitute, and now he sees the thief's true identity. Shame-driven hunger fulfills on the haunted late-night streets frequented by the young hustlers. Alone on a corner, he smokes his cool sticks and shudders, trying to hide his remaining humanity from those who may look too close. The walking polluted, that's what he feels like. I didn't know a boy could be a whore, he tells himself, after a profitable night of debauchery and sold morality. But that's what he has become, a whore. He's torn between the easy money that it brings him to stay high with and his religious upbringing of hellfire and brimstone for the sinner's reward. Lost but not forgotten, his sanity will become if he doesn't find his way back to the realms of reason. The man must fight his way free from the child prostitute within that has transformed him into a being loathed by society and himself. The mist in the air brings a tear to my eye. The time of change is upon me. Light has penetrated the dark, and the truth has set me free. The light travels as if through a long corridor to rest its truth as a spark in the corner of my mouth. Sitting in a chair just waiting for the judgment I know must come. To terror that all will see is the life of a man. Memories converge on the scene of a man, his trials and pain. This is a three-liner. This one's called Through Many Screens. A flag ripples in the wind. Time, blood on my hands. The walls are always there. This is another three-liner. Awake. Surely this is not my life. A nightmare this must be. Awoken again by the sounds of chains. That's the end of that. This one's called Concrete Tulips. I sat mystified by the presence in my mind. The presence of my past come to visit and haunt this waking trauma that I call life. Life without parole come to lay claim to my waking. Walk through the concrete tulips of this prison cell I call home. Vanished is my childhood of old into the long sleepless night of remembrance lost. Lost but not forgotten is the sweet smell of springtime down by the old fishing hole. That's where the bass would bounce into your net. Yeah, man. Them old bass were caught with a whistle from the night crawlers, picked with blurry eyes, with a flashlight scrounged from Dad's old pickup truck. Shake that stick, Mr. Green and Scaly. Open your mouth wide and chew on that until I chew on you. Fried bacon and butter with a wee bit of garlic and a glass of white on the side. Lost but not forgotten are these troubles for a time. The time it takes to let your mind swim in this wee verse written from this nightmare of mine called Earth in a Cold Gray Bucket. Now excuse me if you would while I continue to tiptoe through these concrete tulips.
Okay, so even listening to Joe Convict reading from A Voice from the Dungeon, if you're wondering about the quality of the sound on this, it's a little bit scratchier than things that you might be used to hearing, because the recording was made over the phone through a slot in the door of a 12-foot by 7-foot cell. Where Joe the Convict was incarcerated. He remains incarcerated now at Warkworth Institution. And there was a riot just 2 weeks ago at this institution.
Yeah, there were 12 people hospitalized. One ended up dying. I believe that, it was something there. There was a lot of people overdosing on drugs, which just, like, a lot of people might think, you know, hey, you know, oh, these criminals going in, you know, but why are they doing that? You know, like, if you're reading, when we read poetry, or when we have somebody like in this, we have this opportunity to actually even hear Joe Convict, you know, reading out his poetry, and you see how much that means for him to be able to do that in such circumstances. I mean, this is not easy. I just want listeners to know it's so not easy even just to even get somebody to be able to have that opportunity to do that. You know, it's not like a prisoner can just pick up a phone and phone anybody. It doesn't work like that. There's a whole method. They have to get people on a phone list. It got to be pre-approved by the Correctional Service of Canada, and they can deny anybody they want. And, you know, and then being in SEG and everything like that, you know, so I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah, he was in solitary confinement when he recorded these.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to hear more from that later. But now, Dee, you had something local.
Yeah, you know what? Talking about segregation, you know, I got a poem by somebody. I've met him a few times. I do some volunteer work with prisoners as well. And his name is Greg. And when I mentioned, hey, there's going to be some prison poetry, and this actually he wrote. It's called An Ode to Bernie Evans and the Unrelated Heart Attack Squad. Now, just to let our listeners know, he wanted me to put this into context, into the poem, because Bernie Evans was a man who was incarcerated. He had the intellectual capacity of a 10-year-old child, and he witnessed the beating and brutal murder of Bernie Evans through his cell when he was in SEG in Kingston in around 89-90. Okay? And so there was then, of course, another inquest like they did this with Ashley Smith. Well, they did this with Bernie Evans at that time. And as usual, everything is whitewashed. All the hands are clean. So anyways, this was the poem that he wrote about that. So this is Greg's poem. And he said he would have liked to read it out today, but his voice is too hoarse, he feels, for the radio. But anyways, I'm reading it out for him. An Ode to Bernie Evans and the Unrelated Heart Attack Squad. In the name of prevention, there's another dimension, one filled with apprehension and tension. Now I was a thinker, but above all, a drinker, and one morning I woke in the clinker. They claim it's progressive, yet it's rather depressive. You become a statistic and really pessimistic, and realize it's just short of torturistic. But do not complain, for you will not gain, and with the pain you'll soon ascertain they are masters at driving people humanly insane. It is their domain. They don't have to explain, even when they have slain. And in a snap, like a thunder clap, their courts will rule, sorry, this scrap was a tragic mishap. You see, the man was aggressive in our inquest, impressive, and in conclusion, his head wounds an illusion. Smack, whack, thwack, poor fellow died from an unrelated heart attack. What an act! We can raid and degrade, but don't be afraid, for remember, above all, this is a correcting crusade. Just climb and climb our mountain of time, and forget about our organized, legalized crime. And best behave, our poor little slave, for if you rave, you'll further deprave, and soon you'll grave an early grave. And yes, that was written by Greg, and I appreciate that. And I just want to make something that I should have maybe mentioned when he was talking about the unrelated heart attack. Well, what happened was there, when they were doing the inquest, they found this, oh, he has a fractured skull, and they couldn't figure out why that happened. Well, he saw through his cell as they dragged his body down the steps, and his head went clunk, clunk, clunk at every step all the way down a hole, you know, after a beating. So yes, he died of an unrelated heart attack, so the CSC says. So I guess we're going to be going back and listening a little more to Joe Convict, or
yeah. Yeah, we've got more from Joe Convict here. And I just wanted to give the contact info to listeners again. If you have feedback about this material, you can forward the messages to Paul via Liam at sparrow@riseup.net or by mail to Prison Radio, care of CKUT, 3647 University, Montreal, H3A 2B3. And of course, this is Dromo Text on CKUT, 90.3 FM, CKUT.ca on the internets. And it's 20 degrees outside right now, partly cloudy. We're going to hear some more from Joe Convict right now. Stay tuned.
This next one's called The Definition. CSC Justice is a as round as a four-cornered post, buried in 20 feet of manure, below 20 feet of bureaucrats, sitting on 20 feet of paperwork that 20 lawyers say you have to fill out just to get that quarter ounce dignity that only costs a dime. Circles of injustice aim to maim the man wanting to change, because if I change, then they would have to rearrange their perception of me. With such a small price to pay, and it only costs a dime. But you see, I'm not allowed to carry that dime, because no change for the bad guy. For he might actually change, and then, yep, you guessed it, then they would have to change. Now, CSC changing is like pulling teeth out of a wide awake, wild running rhino. Running 50K because another rhino just jabbed him in the ass with ill intent in mind. And there I am, that little dentist with my needle nose pliers directly in his path with a cartoon bubble above my head saying, "Mummy, I ask you, is this justice?" That's the end of that one. This one's called Clickety Clack. Rolling along, just riding the rails, picking a track that may take me back to where that monkey hopped on. Green and nasty with eyes that never close or sleep, with a temper that never cools, with a stick that perpetually beats a rhythm on my brain. The strain is making me slick to my stomach. Yeah, man, clickety clack, that's the sound of the track that's going nowhere slow. Round, round we go, where we stop, Jaman may never know. Making mud pies with the quick and the underfed. Making merry with Mary from down the lane. She was old enough to know better than to corrupt a young mind like mine. And in her selfishness, a mine was begun, digging and scraping, burrowing deeper and deeper into the realms of my brain that has now created a strain. Now here I sit feeling the sway of this boxcar called life, mesmerized by these shiny steel rays of destiny that span from the horizon of my birth to the final conclusion of my passing that you may have seen one time in the night. Yes, then on into the great unknown that some call the afterlife is where we'll all meet in the end. Clickety-clack, clickety-clack. That's the end. This one's called The Long Goodbye. It's another three-liner. Lost but not, farewell said and mourned, but still he remains. That's the end of that one. Running. The tale of a boy that needed to roam, and oh boy, that's what he did. Years spent up and down the highways and byways, running and running, always running. Yep, you guessed it, running to lose the pain that he felt inside. But if and when that boy did stop, that old pain itself would be right there beside him. Oh yes, to cause his woe. Away he would go without a goodbye, but to the open road he said hello. In all the running, the boy did lose the child that was to become the man that is. Now the man is lost and in chains, and yet, you guessed it, only life 25 to go, with nowhere left to run. This one's called An Ode to Daddy's Old Guitar. I remember the songs that you sung for me when I was just a lad of no more than three. For all those times you would bounce me on your knee, softly singing, chains to bound me down. And all the things that followed my life, Daddy's old guitar has remained, reminding me, oh yes, of a simple time of joy and the love a father can have for his son. Just like Daddy's guitar, I'm a lot older now, but I'll always remember those songs he played for me. Your love and guitar are still there, I know. Sadly, those chains of life have now bound me down. And although I'm no longer free, Daddy, please play a song just for me. That's the end of that one. This one's called Stolen Play. Remember to cherish the children. Don't lose them to the pain that can be brought on by ruined innocence. Because mine was ruined by a cycle of sadness and by the madness of selfishness forced onto me and accepted in innocence. Twisted and angry, alone and afraid. Dark and dreary is this place of secrets. The secret society of sadness, bitterness, and stolen play. The play of the predator has twisted my soul. In madness, I search for solutions. I will find them in the light, not in the darkness of night, where they have remained hidden in the shadows of my fear. I lashed out until I was sucked out. Then in the melancholic haze, I reached for a bottle the color of blue. Then in that blue, I found you, a lonely and terrible darkness sent to destroy. You who are the founder of lost lives and chaos. Those unshed tears have caused great woe in this my life and many more. The chaos can't be undone, but there is a place in mind where change can be realized and woe made better by far. Then I heard a voice say, in a millennium minute, we can erase the madness and obliterate the sadness of your stolen play. That's the end of that one.
Hi, we're back on Dromotex.
Yep, it's CKUT 90.3, and we've been listening to a collection of poems called A Voice from the Dungeon by Joe the Convict. And just again, if you're just tuning in right now, this is a collection of creative poems and poetry recorded while Joe the Convict was imprisoned at Warkworth Institution in Southern Ontario. He's still serving a life sentence there. When he recorded this, he was in solitary confinement, and it was recorded over the phone through a slot in the door of a 12-foot by 7-foot cell. And Dee, you've got something now from from Brian Laurier.
Yeah, I do. Actually, this was recorded quite a few years ago in 2003, and it was during the Prisoners Justice Day that we had here at CQT that we played this so often. It was a commentary that Brian Laurier, who was then a prisoner at Bath Institution, or as I prefer to call them, penitentiaries, because that's what they are, in Ontario, in Bath, Ontario. So it's a short it's a short piece. It's not poetry per se, but it does fit into our theme because it is poetic in a way, as he describes what Prisoner's Justice Day means to him.
Yeah, great. Let's listen to it.
Hi, my name is Brian Laurier, and I just wanted to give a couple of thoughts on what August 10th meant to me years ago and what it means to me today. I entered the prison system in 1978, and have seen many bizarre events inside these walls over the years. I've known those who have been killed for unimaginable transgressions, from challenging a word in a Scrabble game to saying hello or good morning to the wrong person. I've had friends who have been killed by the bullets from guard towers or the neglect of the prison health care system. And I've lived with many men whose minds have suddenly snapped, guys who've mutilated their own bodies, hung themselves, or simply shut down to be carted off to the nut house. Like episodes from the Twilight Zone, some days defy and mock all reason and understanding. August 10th is an important day for me. Years ago, August 10th was primarily a day of protest, observed mostly by all of us in Millhaven. This was back in the days when a person's political outspokenness might get him a midnight plane ride to the other side of the country, this practice itself being one of the issues of our protests. Today, now that I'm older, August 10th is a time to reflect upon all that's happened over the years, and especially a time to mourn those who have fallen along the way. As I consider the changes which have taken place over the previous generation, I soon begin to think of the challenges that confront the present one and the generation to come. In this sense, August 10th to me now represents some hope for the future. What began in Millhaven years ago has now grown and taken root beyond the prison walls and fences, and now today cannot help but be noticed by those who pass by. Thank you.
Yeah, so I have a little update on that. Like I said before it was air, that's Brian Laurier, and that was recorded in 2003. And August 5th of 2005, he was found dead in his cell. And he is a very good friend of his, a prisoner by the name of Peter Collins, who I've done interviews with and who I've organized art shows with and everything, was very, very good friends with Brian. And he said that prior to that happening, that, you know, he'd been acting a little bit different, you know, giving things away and all that kind of stuff. And then he found himself like he had he hadn't done any kind of drugs for years and years and years and years and years. And boom, all of a sudden he's found OD'd in his cell. Of course, that's not really written up in when you type out his name and go on the internet, you know, just says, oh, man died, you know. And yeah, so that's Prisoner's Justice Day. So even though he was optimistic, he seemed, I guess after, I think he had done about 21 or 22 years by the time he passed on, you know. And this is another thing I'd just like to spend a few seconds here just to describe that for Prisoner's Justice Day, it really, really means something, you know, for a lot of prisoners. It might not be adhered to as strongly as it has been in the past, but it still is a day where prisoners refuse to work. They stay in their cells. They refuse to work because those who have died in prison can't work. They refuse to eat because those who have, died, can't eat. It's kind of like a nonviolent protest that they have inside the prison. And it was pretty something when I heard about that, because I remember Peter telling me about it. And this is not the first time something like this has happened. I've known another lifer that was living on the outside, and he just... It was really, really sad because he's one of those people that he always claimed his innocence. But anyways, he was sometimes you can't fight that in a court of law, and you get out society just doesn't accept you, you know, and after so many years, you just decide that's it, that's all, you know. And so there's a lot of lifers and other people, you know, that pass on even beyond the bars because of their experiences inside, and also how society will not be willing to reintegrate these people in. So I think we're going to continue listening to some great poetry from Joe Convict.
And just on the note of Prisoner Justice Day, that's coming up. Prisoner's Justice Day is coming up on August 10th, and Prisoner Justice Week, we're going to have...
We're having a little bit of mic problems here. But we are going to have those mics fixed up for Prisoner's Justice Day Week. And between Wednesday and Thursday on the Off the Hour and En Profondeur, they'll be starting in French, in Monday, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, we are going to be interviewing a lot of different people. There'll be interviews by prisoners, former prisoners, as well as volunteers that work with prisoners. And so it should be very interesting. And I hope that some people will learn some things, because we're going to be talking about a lot of different subjects. So
great. Let's go back to more by Joe the Convict. You're listening to Dromo Text, poetry and spoken word on CKUT Radio. The time is 8:42.
of blue. A bottle the color of blue. Make mine a double, he said, in just another saloon, on just another street, located in just another town. Bottles, 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 all in the color of a rainbow. On that dusty shelf, there sat Beth Endicott, looking innocent to his eye. Yeah, man, the one in that blue bottle looks mighty cool. Make mine a double, he laughed. Double it is, trouble it is. Death incarnate in the color of blue. Doesn't he know, doesn't he care? All care is lost with the draining of that terrible bottle. Make mine a double, he once said. So the judge said, sure, double life it is. How could this happen from a simple bottle, the color of blue? If they keep munching, I'm sure to go insane. Ha ha, hee hee, ho ho. I have a lane in my brain that's filled with pain. If they keep munching, I'm sure to go insane. Ha ha, hee hee, ho ho. In vain, I try to fly like a crane, only to profane like a sewage drain. If they keep munching, I'm sure to go insane. Ha ha, hee hee, ho ho. I got a great Dane draining his main vein in the lane of my brain, whacking my will with my 4-foot cane. Ha ha, hee hee, ho ho. Squiggly bugs in my brain. Oh yes, if they keep munching, I'm sure to go insane. I wrote that in the middle of a riot.
And at the end there, it sounds like he's saying that he wrote that poem, Squiggly Bugs, in the middle of a riot.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I have a little something here. A volunteer with a group that I do some volunteer work with, Open Doors. She sent this to me by email, and it comes actually from a book from the John Howard Society, which a lot of people who know about prisoners' rights and everything like that have heard of. And they produced a book a few years back called Prison Voices. So this is one poem coming out of that book. It's called Broken Wings. Sometimes the darkness seems to be my light in these dreadful days. My mind races, yet the demons still stay. I want to run, but it follows me. I long for freedom, but it's complete darkness I can't see. Where did my dreams go? They're so untouchable now. I've always wanted a family and a man who cherishes my vows. I look forward to teaching my grandchildren about life's mysteries. But all I have now is insanity and complete misery, endless heartache. The tears overflow. I was once a beautiful woman inside, but now my heart has lost its glow. And the author, she was born in December 1970, and she received her second sentence for armed robbery in 2003 and is currently serving her time in medium minimum security prison in Kitchener, Ontario. Maybe she's out, though, because this was in 2003. Let's hope so. And,
yeah, indeed. Do you have anything else there?
Oh, yeah, I do have some more, actually. Again, from this John Howard book, Prison Voices. This one is called Closure. There's an aching in my heart with a pounding in my head. I'm so restless, it's hard to sleep being alone in this bed. Through all the memories and good times we shared, I cannot seem to shake the feeling that you never truly cared. I'm alone, I'm dead, and I've been buried alive in this concrete cemetery. I need you now, like I never have before, striving to be with you. Alas, I'm still without. It's too hard to move on. Every day, a journey through turmoil and pain. Things will never be how they were. I don't even want them to be the same. Just give me the closure that I asked for. Goodbye. See you on the next plane. And that was written by a 20-year-old male who in 2001 received a sentence for robbery and an assault. And he is currently being held in a maximum security in Edmonton, Alberta. He was born in 1981.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Well, so, I want to say thanks again for sharing all this amazing prison poetry with us tonight, Dee. Really unique. This is stuff that's that you won't hear on mainstream media. This is really unique and really important, crucial voices that need to be heard in Canadian justice, so-called justice system.
And I even have one more, if I have time.
Yeah, we've got 10 minutes left here.
Okay. Yeah. And this one, folks, I have never even read it yet. So, this is one from the Joan Howard Society's book, Prison Voices. And just to let us know, the person who wrote it was born in 71 and sentenced in 2001 for robbery and stolen property. This 38-year-old female was sent to maximum unit for women in Saskatchewan. She was also charged with forcible confinement. So it's called Healing Journey. Learning the honesty of my ways will be hard on me some days. Looking back in the past when I was a child, realizing I was what you call a little wild. Growing up a survivor was no easy task, my emotions hidden behind a mask. Knowing no other way of life, letting the hurt cut me like a knife, coping with it the only way I was able is what you call pushing it under the table. This way, the pain being out of sight, out of mind, I'd have time to look for a love I'd never find. Thinking when I couldn't find it, I was cursed. Little did I know I had to love myself first. Growing up is what I thought I had done, but finding my inner child has been no fun. From the beginning is where I must start, searching deep within my heart, beginning to care and nurture myself instead of leaving it on the back shelf. To bring forward my desires and needs, love it for what my inner child pleads. I am working on these new things and wait for each new day to see what it brings. These days have brought a lot to me, and my healing is the key. With nothing to lose and everything to gain, I have faced my hurts and inner pain. As I have shed many tears, I was able to confront my secret fears, no longer caring what people think. The wall around me started to shrink. Knowing now I couldn't do this alone, my attitude has taken a different tone. I was able to open up and start sharing because I found someone who is so caring. I suppose that they were always there, but being into myself, I was unaware. Regardless, I've taken the first steps of healing, and with it comes so much feeling. I am thankful to the Creator for each day. And know he is with me in every way. Wow. For the first time having read that, I think that was a really powerful and it gave a little bit of a positive note because somebody's trying to find out and being a survivor and is something, and then being thrown into the prison system and everything. She's obviously a very courageous woman.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I really thank her, even though I don't have her name, but I thank her for having shared that with us. Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah. It's terrific. And thanks a lot for reading them and bringing them tonight. Before we sign off for the night, I'm going to play one more from this collection recorded through a slot in the door by telephone at the solitary confinement cell of Joe the Convict at Warkworth Institution in Southern Ontario. And this one is called A Voice from the Dungeon, which is also the name of, it's actually called On the Walls of This Dungeon. And the name of the collection is A Voice from the Dungeon. And you can find more about it, send an email to sparrow@riseup.net. You can send feedback to that address via Liam there. Okay. So thanks for listening. This has been Dromotext on CKUT.
This one's called On Dungeon Walls. On the walls of this dungeon can be seen the scrawl of those who have been here before me. These are the marks of men whose pain compounded is beyond compare. Lives spent counting the days to the end of a sentence, and for some death will rattle them in their cage. Here lies the name of just another bag of bones in the end. They have written on the stone in hopes of a life without end. These are the marks of those comrades in sins, known not I, throughout this structure of pain. Dungeon walls will never bear the mark of my passage, for my scrawl will be for the world to see, but not hidden in a cage where I don't want to be.
Edge Resistance.
What's up? This is Saul Williams chilling here in Montreal, here on CKUT. Peace.
We pledge alliance with those who have undergone attack for voicing opposition to the war.
August 6th to the 16th, Perversité is back. Perversité is a collaboratively organized summer festival that aims to make links across social justice groups, queer communities, and create alternative visions of pride. Perversité is 10 days of workshops, community picnics, a film screening, a queer book fair, cabarets, and dance parties. Come join us in the Pride Parade, too, where we'll be marching as a radical queer contingent. All of our events are low or no cost. Our full listing of events and all their details is now available at perversité.org. This is a CKUT co-presentation.
Fêtez la plus grande célébration de musique française avec les Francofolies de Montréal, présentée par Ford avec la participation de Molson Drive. Ne manquez pas 5 spectacles dans la série Musique d'ici et d'ailleurs. C'est gratuit. Il y aura Roberto Lopez de la Colombie, musique haïtienne avec Métis, et aussi Kabakour du Mali, directement du Brésil, Foro Timo, et Malade Mantra. Rendez-vous à la Grande Place dans la Complexe des Jardins à partir du 31 juillet. Pour plus d'informations, francofolie.com.
Just to let our listeners know that the lyrics were written by death row prisoner Gene Hathorns.
Curse and crows all around. Wings speed and the air is stale and dank. No friends to hug, no God to thank. Simmons.